5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
We pay you enough.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Poor old fat gets a couple of crumbs.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listen to the Rush Hour. I feel good.
Oh, James Brown, the godfather of soul.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what we're doing here today.
What?
Hump Day quiz, maybe. And then Jay-Z Clark in.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. Jay-Z Clark in.
Yeah.
And there's lots we need to discuss with him. We're getting close to the mid-season draft, etc. Player movement. He's across it all for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second hour, John McIntosh.
No.
Or
no.
Rick.
Okay, Rick. The people's caller,
right.
Jim.
From Warrnambool.
Well, the voice of country racing.
Oh, nice.
And he's down there at Warrnambool.
All right, day two.
They finish up at 4:30. He'll just have a couple of froths and he'll be joining us on
right.
air.
And then back end of the show, we get some feedback on the joke and Bill finally acknowledges that he's made an idiot of himself.
No, you do, you fool's head.
What are you laughing at, Hope?
I'm looking forward to this. An old cricket story, is it?
I don't think it is. Hello to you, fat.
Hello, Jim. How are you? And hello to the magnificent people at Chadwick Forklifts.
You just stopped talking.
Well, I did because I started badly. Chadwick Forklifts out there in Sunshine. You've been to Sunshine, Jim?
Near the airport.
Yeah, well, it's out that way.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
I went out there today.
What for?
I just had to see a bloke about a forklift.
Why?
You needed a forklift.
Yes.
Look at him.
Jim.
That's just a bald-faced lie.
Anyway, I went out there. Jeez, it's busy.
So another lunch.
No, just a little morning tea. But it's bloody busy. There's trucks and there's things going up out there. Very industrial out there. So a big hello
Chadwick
to all
forklifts.
Chadwick, our friends out there at Sunshine.
Well, are they our friends or are they just
listen.
Your friends?
Well, they're mine because they're not happy with you hanging shit on my joke.
Well, wait till you get the feedback.
Oh, well,
that's coming up later.
I think it'll be okay, Hose. How are you?
Johnson kicks towards the goal and oh my god, Singh makes a fantastic save. But I believe he hit his nuts on the goalpost. He is down. Let us have a closer look at instant replay. Not only just self-sacrifice on this play, but sacrificing future generations as well.
Oh, what is that, Hose? Where have you
been? Look, it might be a parody, but it's funny. Makes me laugh.
I like it.
Parody.
Bit of soccer commentary.
That's it.
Oh, right.
Sounding like Harsha Bogley.
A bit like the great cricket commentator.
Yes, right.
Time now for a wrap.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
Got a lot of footy today, Jimmy boy.
Come on then.
And well done to the tribunal last night who threw out Lewis Young's, well, he had a week from the match review.
Yep.
They said no, it was a perfect bump, which I said here on the radio Monday.
Right,
it's still allowed in our game. That is a great decision for footy and Lewis Young plays this week. So well done to all concerned.
It's good.
Any thoughts? No.
No, I'm with you. I didn't think it was worth a week.
No. It was a perfect bump to the body.
No, like surely what you're allowed to do. I'm with you, Bill.
Exactly right. Joe Danaher has avoided surgery, Jim.
But going to miss a month.
Yes, but did you see the incident? Innocuous.
Yeah, well, life on R, that part of the body, aren't they?
But he's running along like he got shot, like a wing.
They often don't look like much, but they can be very serious.
So, well, that tells me that maybe a bit of surgery, put a blocker in there, he comes back and plays finals.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So you're saying he's going to have surgery?
No, I'm saying he should have. I'm saying he should have.
Okay.
But they probably would know more.
I reckon a lot more.
Maybe they know more.
An extraordinary amount more.
Watch this with interest. If he comes back in four weeks.
Is this going to be like Ollie Wines and Patrick Cripps?
No,
they're gone for a month.
We'll move on. Mm-hmm. Melbourne, another injury. Joel Smith out for 8 to 10 weeks with an ankle. He can't get going.
No,
he plays a few games. And then.
Yep.
But look who comes back is available this weekend, Jim. Luke Jackson, Cozzy Pickett. Petty, Noel Bullen, Tom Sparrow, and Simon Goodwin. Neil Bullen.
Thank you.
Get it right.
Yeah.
That's all these ones.
Well, so what we need to...
Goodwin's back.
We'll ask Jay-Z when he comes in. Have they actually had COVID or were they close contacts?
Well, I don't think you can say if they had COVID or not.
Or if you're a close contact, do you still miss? Or has that recent legislation meant you don't?
Write that down.
Because if... They are
COVID
weeks, then often the fatigue is the issue, the knock-on effect of it, Bill. So we'll ask Jay-Z when he gets in because he has very good intel into the Melbourne Footy Club.
We need to know that. That would be good. Also, the Bombers. Jake Stringer has done his hammy again.
I saw that.
Probably shouldn't have played a couple of weeks ago, I reckon.
Well, it was very interesting to see him put into that Anzac Day game. He and Zach Merritt. They both looked a bit underdone.
Exactly. So 3 to 4 weeks more there for Jakey Stringer, who we want to see play. One of the better players there.
Yep.
Do you know who's the youngest side average age of teams in 2022? This is in the Herald Sun. Because Essendon have been saying they are.
Ooh.
They're not.
Well, who are?
Adelaide. 24 years and 2 months.
And
average.
Going all right.
And going well. Essendon and North are next at 24 years and six months. Then it's Hawthorn, Freo, Carlton, Gold Coast. Then up the other end, the oldest team, Jim. Who do you think?
Geelong.
27.8 months. Then Richmond, 26.4, and Brisbane Lions, 26.
North might be about to get younger because I was reading today that Goldie wants to move on.
He should have done that.
Which would be a shame.
2 years ago when he had the Cats. He should have gone to the Cats.
He had the opportunity, I think, but he has been a star for that club. And
why isn't he playing in the ruck?
I have no idea, no intel into that. I think it's weird because I think he's unbelievably good in that part of the ground.
Exactly.
Ruckman's what he's the best at.
He has been for 15 years.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, Jim, if he left 2 years ago and went to Geelong, it would have been great for Geelong, and it would have been very good for him.
Well, would have got a good deal out of Geelong to get him,
I tell you what I read. Adam Goods, who's a superstar and Brownlow medalist, he is not attending the Sydney Swans 10-year premiership reunion coming up this week at the SCG. He's got family commitments, which is, that's fine. But there's four players who won't be attending the 10-year premiership reunion. So Shane Munford, Reece Shaw and Ryan O'Keefe and Adam.
Yep. They're involved in games elsewhere.
Exactly right. So it would be nice to see.
It's a shame.
He
knows how loved he is, especially within the four walls of the Sydney Footy Club.
Oh, yes.
So you would have thought something like that would be a very comfortable place for him to go.
But he did say it's family commitment, so you've got to go with
absolutely.
That, of course.
Yep.
Now, what about Brian Gorgeous, the superstar coach? He has quit there at the Illawarra Hawks. Because he still wants to do the Boomers, of course. And I think he's still going to do something at the Hawks.
We've got them into a final series again. Oh, so it's not like he's done anything wrong.
Bloody oaf. And speaking of basketball, nice of the Jack Jumpers, Jim, to offer their name, Jack Jumpers, to the Tassie team.
New AFL team.
New AFL team.
Not that team has been franked yet.
Well, we all think it's Tassie Devils.
Right. Well, which makes sense. If and when they come in, I would have thought Devils would work.
Devils would be it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know about the Tassie, Jack Jumpers.
Other thing with now that Freo have changed their jumper about 6 years ago is Tassie have got that bottle green to themselves.
Don't you like the bottle green?
I don't think there's another AFL team that even has anything that gets close to the bottle green.
I don't mind the bottle green.
What are they going to go? Bottle green and yellow?
That
was the old Tassie. Colours, wasn't it?
It was. Red? Yes. What's a devil?
I don't know.
What colour? It's brown.
Black.
Black. Might be a bit of black in
there. Oh, hello,
there you
Bill.
Go. Yes.
You seem to know what's going on down there.
Where? Well, I get a lot of intel.
Glenorchy?
And Jim, North. That's all I've
that's
got.
That's all you
that's
got?
That's all I've got. Not a lot around, but I found a bit there, and my good friend here, Rosemary, helped me out.
Rosemary, get us to a song, because we've got the Hump Day quiz coming up.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Did you see your former president, old Flog here, getting some merchandise from Carly at the club?
So, midweek hump day quiz.
Yes.
And Bill, we haven't had too many ring-a-ding-dings.
We have.
I don't reckon. Right. And one of the problems has been your hosting.
Do you think?
Yep.
Really?
And one of the other problems has been we've got to get our contestants up and about excited.
Exactly, Jim. Like, that is the big problem.
Well, let's have a listen to a bit of what happened last week, Ho.
The start. It was awful.
Who won the Anzac Day medal and the Rising Star this week?
Oh.
Warner.
Oh, where they all went under a rock.
A bowl.
A tile.
Oh, yeah, it's just giving it a bump.
Bill. That's not my fault. Beautifully read question.
One of your own contestants, Bob Arnold himself.
I know. But everyone knew it was Jack Givevin. So where were they, Jim? They don't listen.
I think they get nervous once they get through to the studio. So they're fine on the phone with me and Whit when I'm answering the phones.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then once they get here, they're...
intimidated by Bill?
Intimidated by you or Bill.
Oh, it wouldn't be Bill.
No, I can see that actually. Now it that wouldn't you suggest be Bill. That.
You're the least intimidating person I've ever seen.
Not on the footy field.
No, then as well. but certainly now.
Barry Hall Plugger, and Plugger.
Yeah, no, they would have been quaking in their boots.
Step back a couple
Plugger
of
wouldn't
steps.
Have even known you were playing. 133353.
Yes, come on.
The hump day quiz coming. What are we giving away, Hose?
Oh, very good question. Paul it is.
From Bunyip.
Yes.
I'm sure we have a grilled voucher worth $100 because it's where they feed the athletes.
They do.
Grilled.
Yes.
And
right here,
St. Andrews Beach Brewery. You can get it at Thirsty Camel. $100 perfect. Voucher from that too.
But nice. Look at him giving away.
Now, they're everywhere.
We want them up and about, Jim, all right? Because I've got a good quiz here.
All right. If you get through, we need you excited to be part of the Hump Day quiz.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Not only is it not funny, it's also highly inappropriate.
And now, from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Billy Brownless.
All right, so we've laid the platform here, Fat.
We have.
We need them up and about.
Yes, indeed. So can I welcome to the Hump Day Quiz our first contestant, James from Meredith. G'day, Jimmy.
G'day, Billy. How are you, mate?
Oh, Meredith, what a good little pub you have there right on the highway, the Meredith Hotel.
The Royal, mate.
Royal,
God's country out there, mate. You
Royal,
knew that.
Bill. Well, it's a you Royal. You've been there because you work in the area.
I do, mate. I do. I met you the other week, mate. So I'll give you the hot tip. You're the funny one out of you and Dougie.
Me and Dougie.
Hang on. Dancing's real
no,
funny.
No, he is. He
just and you're not always.
You can't understand him.
No,
so imagine trying to understand
him. Who are you?
Jimmy's a good man. He works there and he looks after the town of Meredith.
Your call sign is Jimmy, and we've got Jared from Romsey. Hello, Jared.
Hello, boys. How's it going?
You're going good. By the name of Jazza.
Jazza.
And, of course, Romsey, the late, great Dean Jones, was a resident out there, and Bristol wasn't far away either, Jazza.
Yeah, that's it, boys. It's pretty top-notch town.
Beautiful.
Boyd Brennan. You know Boyd Brennan from Romsey?
The what? Sorry, I can't hear.
A mate of mine, Boyd Brennan, was at Romsey from Assumption. You're an electrician.
I am.
All right.
Good
and,
work.
And Carlton fan.
Righto. So we've got Jimmy and we've got Jazza.
Jazza.
Righto. Here we go, boys.
Scream
you know
your name
works.
Out. Get excited.
Prizes
are amazing. Hump Day Quiz.
Question one. Which superstar British musician led a warning chant at the concert on Saturday night?
Jazza.
Jazza.
That was Robbie Williams.
He's nearly about to change
Warning. Warning.
That was it there?
That's it.
Oh, how that good, is, by the way.
Oh, I know.
Well done, Robbie.
Well done, Robbie. Yep. Exactly. Had Warnie's son there and went backstage and all that.
All of the kids.
No, all the kids, are they? Good.
Brilliant. Well done.
Well done. Come on, Jimmy. Here we go. Number two. It's a secret sound, Jim.
Oh, no.
Who is this?
Jazza.
Oh, Jazz.
That's Chewy. That's Big Chewbacca.
And why would we be doing that today?
Because may the 4th be with you, boy.
He's switched on, Jazza.
I don't know.
Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Come on, Jimmy. We need you up and about.
You've been to the Royal.
All right.
Yeah, she's a bit slow out this way, boys.
All right.
Now, on this day in 1997, who became Carlton's all-time leading goal kicker?
Jazza.
Jimmy,
well done, Jimmy.
What do you got for us, Jimmy?
Stephen Kenny.
Yes! Not quite a ring-a-ding-ding yet, but we're getting there, Bill.
And when we say Stephen Kernahan?
We do not. Yes.
Sometimes it's
hard thank
to be
you.
A woman. Stand by your man.
Jim, stop playing.
He won't be happy, the great man. And
no,
I
he's
saw...
had a word with me in a previous job that I was doing when I used to play it.
Well, then don't
right,
play
I love you, but don't.
Because John O'Brown, Saturday night on Fox, that show, he had the full mullet and Carlton
and took him off
and belted that song out. And so imagine how well Brownie got.
Stand by your man.
All right, so she's close. 2-1. Jazza's got his nose in front.
Jazza's got it, poor old Jazza.
All right.
Question four now. 30 years ago Monday, Jason Dunstall, the Chief, kicked 17 goals against Richmond on which ground?
Jazza.
Jimmy.
I'd have to say the MCG.
Jazza.
Righto, Jazz.
Where was it, Jazz?
Was it Waverley?
Yeah!
Yes! Worthy winner. Worthy winner.
Oh, we're actually doing that. Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, it's a best of five.
Yeah. No, we gave Jimmy a fair
Jimmy, we did our best to get you back into the hunt.
I know, boys, and I do appreciate it. It's deplorable. I'm just glad my missus ain't listening.
But Jazz clearly knows his blues, especially. Oh, exactly. Well done, Jazz.
Well done, Jazz. You have won.
You've got a Grilled Healthy Burgers. They're fueling athletes everywhere. $100 voucher. And I think we need to give it a Triple M prize pack as well.
Yeah, I like
for
that.
Jimmy. For effort.
And yeah. What,
yeah,
for
that's what I meant.
Well, what about the St Andrews Beach? Weren't we giving...
No, that's later, Jim.
Oh, right, I see. I see. Well, Jimmy...
Yes.
No, I don't mind, Jimmy. He sounds like a good boy. Give him the St. Andrews Beach hose.
All right, your soft touch. You can now find St. Andrews Beach Brewery's range of award-winning beers from select Thirsty Camel stores across Victoria. And here's Chief sneezing just for the hell of it.
Oh, thanks. Hey, Jimmy, well done. Keep up the great work out there at Meredith.
Hey, Bill, and I just want to let you know, mate, I had a little boy during the week.
Yeah.
And I've named him Easton William.
Easton?
After the great man. Middle name, William.
Good work.
There's lots better names than that. Where's in the middle name?
What about Easton? Where's that from?
Well, you've got a premiership captain in Easton Wood, don't we? So,
oh, you're a doggy.
No, cats through and through, but look, he wasn't a bad-looking rooster. You've got to take the wins where you can.
All right. Well, good luck. Just let me know when you're working next, and I'll slow down.
Good on you, Jimmy. Well done, mate. Well done, bro. I can see Jazza. Well done out there in Romsey. Jay-Z Clark ready to go.
Is he hungover or is he all right?
I think he's straightened up.
Looks fresh.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And, Thomas Carr.
Yes. Right, another one. This one.
This one caught my eye, Jimmy boy.
Thomas.
Billy Brownless thinks he's a newsbreaker. But let's introduce him to a real one. On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's Jay-Z Clark.
And demanding his own intro.
Yes,
which
exactly.
I like.
And he's good too.
Shows like there's him. Some swagger attached to our man. Welcome to you, Jay-Z.
Hello, JB and Bill. I stole your little gag there, didn't I? You did the thing.
That's all right, Jay.
I thought that was pretty funny, so I went with that myself.
How you feeling? Okay, up and about?
I'm feeling good. You poking fun at me being hung up. Mate, I was drunk responsibly,
yes.
Unlike you. I just went to the Espy for a mate's 40th, and had about 6 beers, and then had a pizza at Topolino's afterwards, and I was good as gold on Sunday.
Were you good as gold when you were on air?
I was pretty good. I was pretty good as gold.
Fat, don't you start.
Aidan Bonner.
We've spoken to you on a number of occasions when the question has to be asked whether you're actually fit to broadcast.
Well, that's any day, Jim.
Oh.
So it just all goes into the same.
Mid-season draft, we are not far away from that.
Yeah, so the AFL has contacted clubs today. There's some news on this, Jim, to try and shut down a loophole that saw Hawthorn get Jai Newcomb last year. So they got him with pick two, and he's been an absolute fine for the Hawks. So hard and tough. But what happened? He was the only player in last year's mid-season draft who essentially put a price on his head.
Yeah.
So all the other players just happy to get a go, minimum terms, minimum chips. He said, and with Sam Mitchell's backing, I want more. Yep. That helps scare off other clubs and helps secure his passage to Hawthorn.
Now, from Box Hill, so they had good intel on him.
Yeah, they were all over him like stink on a monkey, it's fair to say, Jim. But what happened is rival clubs were unhappy about it. They kicked up such a fuss. Hawthorn had to get him picked too anyway. But today there has been a step, and that is where the AFL has sent out the memo to all the clubs and said any previously unlisted player must all play for minimum chips, Bill. So
good.
You can't say I demand 300 grand because that means I'll get to North Melbourne or whichever club, or I'll blow up whoever's salary cap. So it's all an even playing field.
Good.
It's almost old school recruiting, this move.
Yep. That was, wasn't it?
Which I sort of don't mind, to be honest.
Bit of stealth.
These guys.
Of Andrew Mackey.
But what do you mean?
Well, it's 100% what happened with Mack.
Well, he was tucked away.
Yeah, they got him at a private school over there in Adelaide and just said, listen, don't play for the next 2.5 years.
And when they picked him at seven. Picked him at seven. Everyone's going, who?
Finally. And how good was he, by the way?
Yeah.
Now, the Bombers.
Yes.
It's been a very disappointing start to the season, and the jungle drums are beating.
Yeah, so there's a lot of heat on this footy club, clearly. It's questions now about the game plan. Last year, they were very Richmond-like. This year, it's been a more hyper possession style. It's fair to say there's questions about the leadership vacuum in the list, and some of the recruiting, of course. And we've heard
they can't kick goals.
No, well, without Tip and Woody,
yep.
Devin Smith's not there. The pressure's been absent. So you defend from your forward line.
Yep.
Stringer hasn't been there. So teams have been able to cut him apart. Now,
but Jay-Z, if you're playing a final last year with a young emerging list,
yes,
your fans are well and truly entitled to think next year is going to be better.
I think we all were, weren't we?
But you know that the fixture, Jim, isn't an even playing field.
No, it is not.
I think they only beat one top eight team last year.
Right.
So they beat up on a lot of the bottom teams and probably weren't up to it against the final sides. And they've been found out this year. That said, their form has been really stinky. But Devin Smith's the man I want to focus on here. Because he's been dropped from the best 22 twice now. He's now out for another 2 to 4 weeks with a knee injury. And there's talk in club land that he could be gettable. In fact, for not much, I reckon you could probably get him at
28, would he be, Dev?
28, spot on. He's contracted for one more year. Whether he's in the club's plans going forward. Bill, a good Lara boy, played for GWS, of course.
Yep.
So he is one. So Dylan Scheel was the name who's been mentioned for the past couple of weeks, but I think you'll find that Devin Smith, with Essendon trying to look to bolster its draft position, he could be one on the way out.
How did you view, before we get to the three youngsters, how did you view the Dylan Scheel thing? You know, they make a statement, take him out of the team, and then play him as a sub.
I thought it was really odd.
Yeah,
Jim. I think if you're going to drop him out of the 22 and make a statement, then he's not playing that week, I would have thought. Don't you reckon?
So do we read into the three youngsters?
Well, Cox, Perkins and Reed.
All unsigned.
They're the only ones of that draft crew to have not signed. I think they will stay at Essendon. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think it's just haggling on the terms and the length of contract.
Okay, so when I hear Perkins, and I don't know if it's true, you will be able to tell me.
Yep.
When I hear Perkins and his management are saying, I only want to commit for 2 years.
Yeah.
That smacks of, I'm not sure what's going on here, so I want to have the option to get out.
Yeah, and
that's fair enough, isn't it?
I think those questions about Essendon, it's a footy club, Jim, who hasn't played finals since such and such.
Or hasn't won a final.
Hasn't won a final since the Dark Ages. So I think that's sort of keeping the club accountable to an extent. Yeah. And Perkins is a very talented young player.
He's a good kid, Perkins.
I don't mind it. Why sign your life away? And with these guys, their trajectory and their price can go up quickly when you're breaking into the scene. So I'm okay. I think all three deals will get done.
I'm not saying anything is wrong with the other two, because there isn't, but Perkins is quality.
Yeah, and Nick Cox too. I mean, he could be he's super versatile and a future star of the game. So it's a watch this space on the Bombers.
Speaking of massive names and trade market.
Brownless.
Yes. Oh. Well, Jordan Ngoe is a big one we're all watching. Now,
I like the fact that you just walk past the Brownless. And so Jordan Ngoe.
Surely not Jordan Ngoe.
Well, he wants to stay at Collingwood. And Collingwood at this stage is very happy with how he's performed and behaved this year.
Yes.
But it's got to be at the right price. So Graham Wright, who's one of the best negotiators and football people in the whole game, he would be happy to sign Jordan Ngoe, I think, for the right price. If Jordan Ngoe wants the mega bucks, the seven-figure deal, then he may have to go elsewhere. Now, they've already got Brody Grundy and Darcy Moore there at Collingwood on good money. They'd be happy to keep Jordan, but I think it's got to be at the right price. That's the key in this negotiation here. But if he wants to chase the big bucks, then he may have to get that elsewhere. Daniel McStay's
also. Hang on, just hold this thought, because we've got McStay and Taranto we want to find out about as well. This is what he brings, Jay-Z.
Yes.
If you're out there and you're wondering if players are moving around or where they're going to go, how much they want.
What's he doing? This.
Look at him.
Yeah.
There's actually something wrong with Bill. More with Jay-Z next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Anyway, that was it, Jim. Up next, not sure what we got. We'll just work on it during the ad break.
Jay Clark is in today.
We love it, Jay-Z. In the house,
in
Dan McStay.
Yes.
Will have lots of interest everywhere if he plans to move.
He certainly has. So Brisbane's put a deal to Daniel McStay. Very hard-working forward, big chest, takes a lot of grabs, strong marking target.
Big chest.
And with Joe Danaher and Eric Hipwood out of the team, he is very important for the Lions. But look, there's all number of Victorian clubs into Daniel McStay at the moment. 600 grand is about the asking price we hear for 4 to 5 years. He's a Victorian boy, as we know. And the club who I'm just keeping my eye on is Collingwood in this space. So they realign their salary cap. They got rid of Adam Treloar, Adam Stevenson, to be able to be more proactive in this space. They know this sort of Mason Cox has fallen out of favour. Nathan Kruger from Geelong is up and coming. They need a proven...
Majacek, who's a beauty, but yeah, can't do it all on his own. Yeah.
Getting to the end. So they need, and Jordan DeGoey's future, you know, still, as we said before, a little bit uncertain. So Daniel McStay be perfect for Collingwood. You know, so would Jack Darling, but is he going to leave West Coast? So I think Collingwood, now they've realigned their cap, you know, was making moves on this front, and I wouldn't be surprised if McStay lands at Collingwood.
I think Daniel or McStay at Brisbane. What about Taranto?
Yes, so he's the pick number two at GWS. Speaking of interest, every club is ringing about him. Now, I think from his perspective, it's a bit of a wait and see on the coach, Leon Cameron. I mean, it does...
Well, he's going, isn't he?
It does appear like the writing on the
You'd
wall.
You think so.
And I think it could be a bit of a mutual decision.
Yeah,
Leon's
exactly,
been there
both.
For nine or ten years.
Spot on.
He could come back to Melbourne and carve out the rest of his coaching career out here, no problem. So from Tim Taranto's perspective, he's weighing up, do I want to see what happens with this coaching situation, or do I just want to stay? He loves Sydney, but certainly a club like St Kilda has kept really close tabs on Tim Taranto. I'd expect him to stay, but I think he would like to know who his new boss might be before he recommits.
And he's former Bayside operator. I think he's a Sandy Dragon, isn't he, Tim Taranto?
He is, and he's having a glorious time of it in Bondi, I'm told.
Is he?
Jim, so having
surfing
in
that.
Yeah, surfing, swimming, go to the cafe up there, occasional beer.
Coogee Pav. Hey, mind you, Bill, the lure of Bayside. No, lots of them want to come back to that magnificent part of the world.
Stay in Bondi.
It's not bad in Bondi.
No, it's pretty good down there.
I would stay in Bondi. Hey, what about Freo? Now, this is very interesting with COVID. And Jim asked a very good question before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you want to touch on Todd Goldstein first?
Yes.
Before we get to Freo.
Yes.
Todd, who I said should have left 2 years ago, would have been great for Geelong and Todd. What's going on there?
Well, Geelong were up to Todd Goldstein, up to their eyeballs in him. And he made the very loyal decision to stay. And I think in hindsight, it's one of those ones when he could have joined a premiership contender. North Melbourne could have benefited with an early pick.
Mm.
Maybe his loyalty went against him. Now, because North Melbourne has been preferring Tristan Cherry to him at times, you sort of wonder whether Goldie could again have a look at a move to the Cats, join a premiership contender, because Reece Stanley sort of older, they're gone for John Segler. Todd Goldstein's a better ruckman than John Segler, Jim. Am I right?
He's in the top two or three tap ruckman in the comp.
Yeah.
Like his soft hand and you know, dropping it into holes. That's what he is elite at, which is why I'm with you. I don't understand what North are doing because that is what he can do incredibly well.
But don't they have to focus? Don't they have to give Cherry a go? Colin Jones?
Yeah, so Goldie used to ruck 95% of the game. You could maybe bring him back to 70, but I'd still start him in there, especially when you've got a young midfield that you know, needs some help.
Yeah.
Horn but France, anyway,
since you left, Jim, basically, it's fallen out.
Don't say that. Horn Francis, so he hasn't signed on again.
Bill,
yet, has he?
Seven games in.
Yes, he's sort of attracted some headlines for his heatedness.
That's all right. That happens in a game. That's fine.
He's going to stay. I mean, Adelaide has basically said that they will be into him for the rest of his career. Remember, they offered three early picks for Jason Horn Francis. They said no. North Melbourne love how competitive and quality he is. So I think Adelaide will be going for him for the rest of his life.
Freo have got significant COVID issues coming into this game. Probably lucky they're playing North Melbourne.
Six. How many players would it take for you to tip North Melbourne? How many players would Fremantle have to miss for you to tip North?
Well, what did West Coast have? Eight out.
I reckon 18.
Nine out.
18.
Well, yeah, but in the game they played North earlier in the year, they had something like nine out. Yeah, they had seven waffle players who'd never played before. But for a couple of opportunities late, they actually should have won.
So Lobb and Blake Akers and Collier were out.
There's six,
and
yes.
And then today it's
Logue. Frederick.
And
Meek.
And Lloyd Meek.
Lloyd. Yes.
My man who took the mark and then just kicked it miles out in the full.
So that is six.
Yeah.
Wow.
Six
but
out.
Who do they get back?
And the threat is more. They get Young back. Hate the half
Young,
back.
Young. Yep.
Chapman. And is it Lobb as well?
No, Lobb played last week.
Did he play last week?
Yeah, he's
well, certainly Young and Chapman.
Well, he's out anyway with COVID.
Yeah, he's out.
Sorry,
COVID.
Sorry. Yeah. Young and Chapman
Jim
are two.
Jim asked this question, and I reckon I asked it 2 weeks ago, so he's also been listening. But with COVID, can we know if they have COVID or are they a close contact?
Because in WA, the close contact thing still
The AFL like to protect the players' privacy on that front, Bill.
I know,
so that's why they just say they keep it vague.
But if they had COVID,
it
runs on. It goes for a week or two, as you know, if anyone's had COVID. Yep. It hangs around for a while.
I was flat for a couple of weeks,
Bill. That's right. So if they come back after a week, they're going to be flat, you would thought. If
But if they're a close contact, there's no problem.
That's right. So if I'm a punter and I'm punting on footy.
You want to know.
I want to know.
Yes. Well, you are a punter.
It's a fair point. Yeah.
Hey, Marcus Ashcroft, let's talk about him. His young bloke is, tipped to be number one in the upcoming draft, which is obviously not till November. Yeah. Is he franking that? Is he playing well enough that everyone thinks that his young bloke is going to be the number one pick?
He's the number one pick at this stage, and he's tied to Brisbane, as we know, as the father-son. So even at the
weekend. What is his first name, by the way? I just said his dad. Marcus, obviously. So Will's the young bloke.
Yes. Yep. So at the weekend, he had 24 disposals, 9 tackles, 8 contested possessions, 8 score involvement, 6 inside 50s, 4 clearances, and a 59-point win. He is the real deal. Classy midfielder. And if McStay goes for Brisbane, it would help bolster their draft points balance to be able to get him at the number one
father, son,
pick. Yeah. So if McStay does leave, there is a silver lining for them too with
any
the Lions.
Other father-sons out Pardon? There? Any other father-sons you're hearing out there?
Yes, so Essendon has got the two Davey boys.
Oh, Aaron and...
Jaden and Elwin Jr. Yep. Jaden's done two knees, and Elwin Jr. is very talented also.
Right.
So they're two who are on the way to the Bombers, we think, as long as the second knee is okay. But that's certainly the plan. That'll help provide that forward pressure, potentially, which the Bombers have been missing.
Love it, Jay-Z.
Maxie Brownless, hadn't come across your desk?
No.
Playing for college thirds.
Not quite. Yeah, okay.
I don't think he's going to make it.
No, Bill, he's a golfer, Maxie.
Yeah.
He's playing beautiful golf. Hey, tell us anything else before we let you go.
Yes, at Carlton, there's some defensive headaches. So Mitch McGovern, we know, out for 3 or 4 months. That surgery in their hamstring. Oscar McDonald still dealing with the back issue. So it puts a lot of pressure on Wietering and Young, and there's not a lot of depth behind that in the key back position. So Brody Kemp in the VFL, he might have to play a bit of a key defence, but they don't need another injury back there. Otherwise, they will be pretty thin back there. They take on Adelaide on Sunday.
Have you heard Bill's theory, because the Mackay brothers have never played against each other, that Harry and Ben are actually the same person?
The same guy.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Not bad.
Have you seen them out together, really?
Never. No. They've never played
7 years.
In the same game, have they?
7 years. No one's seen them together.
He's back, Benny Mackay, Aiden Corr for North Melbourne.
Even
as well.
On Mother's Day, there'll be one of them there, and then they won't be there together.
Hey, Jay-Z, brilliant helping from you.
Yes,
I like it.
Nice, Jay-Z.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And your car was parked out the front and you didn't come in.
Yeah.
And I got a ticket. Good.
I got a bloody ticket. We haven't got time to go through the email I received, Hose, about the start of the show.
Are you sure?
I think it was from Warren.
Warren.
And he did mention, of course, the King of Kings. But he was asking about the start of the show. He said, Fat, we all know it starts at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Maybe you should realise that as well. Mm. Hello to you, Fat.
Hello. Hello, Jim. How are you? See, that wasn't me. That first bit wasn't me.
It was like your voice did a hammy.
Yeah, it did. They're well said, Hose. It's exactly what it was like.
You'll be able to see it on our Instagram as well, Triple M, Rush Hour.
Nice.
At what?
What do you mean at what?
Just Rush Hour, is it?
I said on our Instagram.
On our Instagram.
At Triple M Rush Hour.
Righto. That's
exactly.
Open
that's
your ears.
Second half of the show, we've got a very nice helping for you, of course. I'm going to be delighted to hear Bill tell a story about when he made an idiot of himself. And we've got some feedback and a joke later on. And we're also going to hear from this man.
In the immortal words of Ron Burgundy, it's great to be here with two tennis legends, Roger Federer and John McIntosh.
It's not John, it's Rick.
Rick McIntosh.
Oh. Seriously? How good is the Bill?
Australia's favourite racing caller, Jim.
I'm looking forward to chatting to Rick shortly.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Well, just do you know what a tine is? The tines of a fork. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
What?
It's about 5:32, Jim.
Well, she's starting to rain, Fat. The honeymoon might be over.
I told you, the Warrnambool 3-day carnival brings rain.
It. Does Suddenly bring we rain. Just get this real cold, wet stuff.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, Rick
McIntosh,
speaking of Warrnambool, not far away, and then a nice admission from you that you did something wrong.
You fool there.
And then we get some feedback from Hose, and then a real poxy joke.
Good joke.
That's all still to come,
we'll see.
You wouldn't want to be going anywhere.
No.
Listen
to the Rush Hour for the next 40 minutes.
What, and leave 10 out?
Well, actually 50.
Thank you.
Yeah, 52. 50, yeah.
Good news at the Bombers. Finally, Jim. One of the youngsters, Mick Martin. Didn't he start well too?
Nick.
It's not Mick Martin, it's Nick, with an N. Yeah, Jim, get that Nick, right. Yep. Has committed to the Bombers for two more years.
Very good young boy.
Exactly.
Subiaco in Perth, as my grandma used to call him.
Subiaco.
She put an R in there. Subiaco. Mm-hmm. Come on, Nan.
Dangerfield back at the Cattery. Trains today. Oh, gets through that. And then he takes on the Giants. They need a midfielder.
They do, and some zip.
Exactly, down there in Canberra. When's that game? Saturday night. Come on, Danger.
Speaking of cold. She's a bit cold there.
Where's colder? Canberra or Ballarat?
I reckon Canberra. Canberra is freezing.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'd agree. It's
bloody cold, Canberra.
Like Burley Griffin.
Mm-hmm. That's all Bill knows in Canberra.
Parliament?
Yeah.
And?
Capitol Hill and Lake Burley Griffin.
Fireworks?
Now, who else is coming back?
Tim English might be. Well, that's good news. What, the Doggies would love to see Timmy. Come on, Timmy, back to the kennel because they need him back. So let's hope he gets back. And I heard also during the week that the leadership group at Collingwood, Jim, just had to sit down and have a little chat to Jack Ginnivan. I think he had a couple of frothies there somewhere along the line, and it was only a 6-day turnaround. Or a 5-day turnaround, maybe. Yes. And they said, but it was a good chat, Jim. It wasn't, you can't do this, do it. It was enjoy yourself, and that's all he needs, mate. Just a little.
There's also expectations of standards being upheld.
Exactly. But still, you've got to enjoy yourself and be yourself, which I reckon they're doing it really well with him.
They are. And that's what you hear about Fly McRae, is he's very much about wrapping his arms around the whole group. And that's good. I'll tell you what I did today. Have you finished the wrap?
Yeah, that's it.
Did my first boxing for a while.
Oh, you haven't done that for a long time.
Well, because I've been out and about, but I was there today.
How'd you go?
Luke, the man that runs It's an Animal, he's an asshole.
You don't say that to
him.
Is that
on his business card?
He is a very, very nice man.
Yeah,
until you get the hour of the boxing.
What are you
going to
do? What are you doing?
Well, as well as all the boxing training, which is not fun. Today, 6K medicine ball up against the wall.
Mm-hmm. And?
20, 15, and 10, you've got to throw the thing, the basketball ring height.
Your little skinny arms. No good that with your little.
And then 30, right, left, at chest height. So try doing that, fat.
Easy.
No, it isn't. It is not. I'm telling you. And the bastard throws that in like I've never done that one before. So you mentally get used to his rounds and you think, right.
Okay. And then he puts that in.
I can get this. I can get through this one. I know it's hell, pistons and all. I can I can get through all that. I know how bad it's going to be. And then he just opens the door and goes, right, let's go outside for a minute.
Oh, no.
I said, why?
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are we going out here for?
Going for a coffee.
And Bill, that was no good. No good. So he's on
notice.
He's on notice.
Yes.
And so is Nafe.
Oh, Nafe Brown.
Nafe's normally there to do it with
and?
Me. He didn't front.
Oh, of course. Would add his candles.
Weak as piss.
Smelling his candles.
Weak as piss.
You know what is hard?
Western suburbs dweller.
When you go to the gym and you've got to lean against the wall and it... What's that called?
Yeah, core strength up against the wall.
Core strength.
And we need to go because we've got Rick McIntosh coming.
No, ringing Rick McIntosh.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Someone have hold of your pill.
They didn't drop for a while. They're up there.
The Warrnambool Racing Carnival is on right now. And nobody knows the carnival better than the voice of the bull himself.
Seriously, how bloody good is the bull?
Please welcome Rick McIntosh.
Ah, yes, Jimmy boy. Day two of the Warrnambool Carnival is done and dusted. And this man here is Australia's favourite race caller. He loves the jumps. He's the voice of country racing. Rick-o, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, good on you. How'd you go today, mate? 10 races today. How did it all go?
Oh, we got through, I think. We got through, Billy.
Yeah, good boy.
Jeez, it looks like the bloody freezer door's been opened up, Rick. I know this part of the world very well. I've been in Port Ferry for years. It can get cold down there.
Yeah, and I'm still here at the track. It's pretty pretty chilly here, let me tell you. And it's probably going to be chilly here tomorrow, but there'll be 20,000 people here to make it a little bit warmer.
Yeah, do you have a frothy after the call? Because the voice will be going.
Yeah, I'm halfway through one right here, standing on the presentation. Nice, Billy, yeah.
Good boy. And then you head down to the Whalers, I reckon, because guess what he's got at the Whalers in there in Warrnambool?
Yes.
A statue. There's a statue of Rick McIntosh there. Isn't there, Rico?
Yeah, not many people, 51, who are virtually a nobody, got a bronze statue of Billy, but that's a fact.
Well, this is probably why, Rick. We play it regularly, but you put the joint on the map.
Seriously, how bloody good is the Burl?
And that was mid-call, Rick.
Yeah, well, if you've got a sports bet account, you'll make yourself $25 tomorrow if you have the novelty bet that I'm going to say at the Grand Annual, JB.
Fair income.
Oh,
yeah. Right. And so what are you thinking? You're going to slide it in or...?
Oh, of course I am.
Of course I love it.
A sports bet just told me they're not talking to me again if I don't say it.
Oh, so, of course. Hey, I...
And the thing is, the race goes 7 minutes. My chauffeur for the week is a bloke you know very well called Jason Richardson. And he actually... Richo's in there having one now. He's chauffeured me to the track every day. And he said, I'll tell you what you need to do for the Grand Annual. He said, you need to talk to Billy and see if he can come up with a good joke for you to play.
Oh,
that will be. No, Bill, none of them, Rick. There's none of them. And by the way,
Richo's leading me astray, Jason.
He hasn't told a decent joke for about 6 months. Richo, one beer will do him, by the way.
He's not a drinker.
Now, I've never called a race of this type, obviously. How did you get into it? How did you first start calling horse racing?
So I was besotted with Bill Collins when I was probably a four-year-old and just wanted to be a race caller and did all the Lego horses around the mat and all this kind of jazz when I was a kid. And when I was 14, I was at the trotting trials one day and they didn't have a caller and I went, well, I'm it. And I called it and by 15, I sort of had a bit of a run going, 16 even more so, with sort of non-TAB meetings on a Saturday and my trial circuit on a Sunday. And lucky enough, by the time I was 18 and old enough to get my license, I was considered good enough to be employable at the Cape of by 3 years, thankfully. And they gave me a job and I've been doing it ever since. And I'm 50 or nearly 52, so I'm pretty happy in...
No, you're a bloody
honoured and that to be able to do a job that I love for the whole of my life. I still love it now. It's the first race I called, you know.
You're a bloody star. We love it. We have a few frothies and we'll all say, how good's the bull? But I love this one here when our favourite horse won, Rick.
He's only just in front, but he's clinging on, Dinger. The Wild Clan will get one. Dinger, he should have been our mate. Wins the Nectar Moore wanted. Dinger.
Dinger.
A bloke with five kids. I should have been on it.
I reckon that's my favourite.
That's good. That's good, Billy. That's your favourite.
I like it. Now, how do you go?
I love all of my kids, by the way. Very, very much.
How do you go calling a 5.5K 33 jump race? Because you're on your own, not like you got special comments or anything.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I've called a lot of footy, JB, which you have in the early days, called a lot for Channel 10, like the Bendigo Footy League Grand Finals and the Interleague, when Channel 10 used to do the Interleague Grand Finals and all that, and have done a lot of other sports like running and cycling. And the biggest thing about being a race caller that's different to, you know, say, and I'm only just explaining to this because you've called a lot of sports yourself, is you're very alone.
Yes.
Like, that's the difference between, you know, your job. You're very alone. You're in the box. You've got no one to point to something if you made a mistake or if you're on the wrong tram. You feel very alone.
Yeah.
But you get used to it and you just go into your own zone, your own little place, and you just you call what you're seeing and you hope to bloody hell you get it right.
Well, and the horse identification is massive too, and you don't make mistakes, neither do the big boys. It amazes me how you get them all right all the time.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I use that. I used to call the Bendigo Footy League Grand Final in the early days with Shane Healy, who you'd remember.
Yeah, yes.
He was Rex Hunt's sidekick, and he was amazed with it. He used to say to me, because I was helping him out with the identification as you do in footy, you know, the cheats way.
Yep.
And he used to say to me, How many games of footy have you called this year? I said, this is my first one. He used to go, this is amazing. How do you know all these players? And I said, I just learn them when they're out doing their warm-ups. You know, that guy's got a headband and that guy's got a... It's the same as race call. And you identify the colour and what's different. And he goes, well, that's freaking amazing. You know? But with the horses, it's about just putting a name to the colour and you know, identifying them, and very important that you put them in right, and then and then hopefully you remember them.
Yeah. You're a bloody star. Bloody we can't oath. Wait for Love tomorrow. It. It's going to be massive with the grand annual. Thanks very much for jumping there's on the phone, Rick.
That's good because there's a bloke here, me chauffeur, Richo. He's saying, with his rabble I'm talking to, we've got to go.
You go, yeah.
He's
mate.
Calling me out. I'm saying I'm doing an important job, and he said no.
Well done.
Tell him to get stuff, by the way.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
So I've been working half a year, haven't had a break. No wonder old numbnuts are no good.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's showing. All right, Fat. The topic for discussion here is when you've made a complete idiot of yourself.
Which you do,
hasn't,
a lot.
Hasn't happened to me often.
Well, yesterday when you washed the car.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's an example of it. Yes. Well, that wasn't my fault.
No, of course.
That was the wind. It wouldn't just have caught been, the broom.
Wouldn't have been your
fault. Well, and this one wasn't my fault either.
Actually, I was having a chat about this today with someone close to you.
Yeah, what did they say?
And she agreed totally with me.
She would not have.
That you're never wrong.
That's true.
And you're bloody hard to live with. I said, well, I have to work with him.
Joking me, aren't you?
I have to work with him.
I am a delight. Now, I need to put my hand up high. Oh. I'm taking you back.
Wow.
I reckon it was 1989. Pakistan were touring Australia.
Jeez.
Test match and one day internationals and all the rest of it.
Yes.
And as used to happen back then, they started their tour in Perth at the Wacker.
Mm-hmm. Bouncy.
So the tour match is set to begin. I wasn't in the selected team, Bill.
Oh.
And I'd started about a year and a half earlier, so I was in and out and in and out and in and out.
Were you carrying the drinks?
I don't remember right. whether I was a 12-3rd, actually, in the selected side, but I certainly wasn't in the starting team.
So Pakistan v. WA.
WA. Yep. And Jeff Marsh had to pull out late. I don't know what happened to him, but he came out. So I got the call the night before saying, you're playing tomorrow and you're opening the batting.
Against Pakistan.
Now, I wasn't an opener, but here's old Jimmy Boy thinking this is my opening. Mm. I get a big score here. I am in.
Yes.
I'm away, Fat.
Yes, away.
Away.
Yep.
So we get there the next morning. Ooh. Graham Woods, the captain, wins the toss. We're batting. The first bit of good news I get is the old Wazzy a criminal.
Yes.
Wazzy Akram not playing.
Thank God for that, Thank Jim. Christ, I was worried. Bill. I was worried for you.
I didn't fancy any of that on the whack.
No.
So the opening bowling sort of attack for them were two complete unknowns at the time.
Oh, they would have been all right.
Akib Javed and Waqar Yunus.
Oh. Waqar Yunus.
Now, I opened with Mike Valletta, and Waqar may have been unknown. He wasn't after three overs.
No.
My wow. God.
He Bill, was quicker, wasn't
the
he?
The keeper was back about 40 metres.
Oh, Jim.
And I'm going, what the hell is going on here?
I want to know what you wore. Box?
Box, thigh pad.
Inside thigh pad?
No, didn't have them in those days.
Chest pad?
No.
A guard?
No.
Arm guard?
No.
Helmet.
Helmet,
that's
it. Gloves and a bat.
Oh, no, Jim.
So, Bill,
oh.
A boy being sent to do a man's
exactly.
job, I think, describes it.
Yes.
I reckon I made 20-odd.
A few nicks.
And I got out trying to hook bloody Akib Javed, nicked it through to the keeper. Mm. Got back in the rooms, Fat, very, very disappointed.
Were you?
Well, because it wasn't a bad pitch. It looked like it was going to be a good pitch.
Yeah, still.
And I'm thinking to myself, you've got to start, you're out. So I sat down in the viewing room and watched the rest of a very good WA batting lineup make close to 400 in a day.
In a day?
In a day.
Wow.
So, Bill.
Yes, you made 20.
Of which I made 20. So
sucked in.
I get there for day two.
Yes.
And obviously we started bowling pretty early. We bowled them out for not many more than 100.
Oh.
Halfway through day two.
Righto, here you are. Here's your chance.
So Graham Wood, the captain of WA, walks over to me when they're nine down and says, doesn't matter what happens here, we're batting again.
Ooh,
he said, I want you and a couple of the others who didn't get much of a hit to have a hit in the second
Good.
Innings. So I am like, yes.
Here I go.
Here I go. Second innings. She's flattened out a little bit, Fat, and this is Jimmy Boy's time. So the 10th wicket falls.
Yes.
As you know, with Davey Warner, I scream off
Run
the
off,
whacker.
Sprint off.
Because we've got 10 minutes to turn around and come back out again. I get my gear on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm head down, Bill. I'm concentrating.
In the zone.
In the zone, 10 minutes, turn around. I'm getting my batting gear on. I think his name was Terry Prue, came in.
Terry Prue.
And he said to me, JB, five. Means we're leaving in five. I'm like, thanks, Terry.
Yeah.
Did not even look around at anyone else. So about 2.5 minutes later, I grab my gear, Mike Valletta's there, and we're down and out the tunnel at the Wacker.
Second innings.
So, Bill.
Uh-oh.
I scream down the race. I'm excited. I'm about 19, 20.
Looking
I'm thinking,
at the sun and
I'm looking at the sun like Ian Chappell. Yeah. I'm swinging the bat around like Kim Hughes.
Yep.
I am ready to go.
Yes.
I get about 40 metres out onto the whacker.
Oh, no. What?
And then it suddenly occurred to me that Mike Valletta, my opening partner, wasn't there with me.
Oh.
And I thought that was a bit weird because I didn't think I was that far in front of him.
Well, you spread it out.
Well, I did, but I didn't think I thought he'd be somewhere near me. I turn around, Bill.
Who's there?
Ramiz Rajah and Shoaib Muhammad, the two Pakistani opening batsmen.
Oh, no.
We hadn't enforced the follow-on.
We didn't. So you gone out.
Oh, Jimmy Boy had been sent up the river.
Oh, no.
Fat.
No. There's three batsmen out on the ground.
Three batsmen on the ground.
No.
I look back past these two to the WA team walking out the field, pissing themselves. No, Bill. They were in tears. They were laughing that hard.
You can't do that.
I had to turn around and walk past these two with my pads and helmet and bat and gloves.
Hey, boys, good luck.
So walk past my own team, 12th man out there ready to field on my behalf.
Yeah, because you're...
And take my gear off.
Oh, Jim.
Fact.
Is that on television? I'd love to see that.
Well, that's disgraceful handling of a young man.
No, I thought you've got to put your hand up here, Jim, and say I probably should have been aware of what had happened.
Bill, I was focused.
No, you weren't.
I was focused on getting the job done.
Again, you stuffed up.
So anyway.
So you got it wrong.
I had to walk off.
You got it wrong.
I had to take my gear off.
Yes, Jim.
I had to put my fielding shoes on.
Oh, fielding shoes. And then
turn around, hose.
So are you prepared to say?
Wave to the 12th man. He had to come off and I had to walk on and field. We bowled him out for about 100. The game was done in 2 days.
So you didn't get a bat because they didn't make it.
Didn't get another bat, and then the next game was the first Shield game of the year, and I wasn't included in that.
Oh, jeez. So,
fat.
Are you prepared to say
it went horribly wrong for me?
You got it wrong.
Did not. I was following instructions.
No, you weren't. You weren't batting.
Anyway,
fool's head.
I was a fool's head.
You were.
I had to trudge off. Oh, so, Bill.
Jim. Yeah.
That's one of the rare occasions
that
when I've made a complete idiot of myself.
Right. And yesterday at the car wash.
Turn him off, Hose.
So he's an idiot. We knew that, Hose.
Okay. This is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Dick.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Do you reckon I'd get anything right?
No.
We're coming close to the joke again for today.
I know. And you've been busy because you've been panelling the show and hosting, so you haven't been able to quite be across the feedback as much as you normally are mid-show.
But
you've caught
up
with some. So are we going to get to the joke last, feedback on the joke?
I think we just need to look at the feedback on the joke.
Right.
I've been filling in for Rabs this week. He's off overseas for a wedding.
Yes.
His own?
No.
No.
Right.
Well, that would be a big surprise to everybody if it is. Now, much loved is the joke, and traditionally we play Plastic Bertrand after the joke, good or bad.
Yes.
However, you've just instituted a new thing.
If the joke's bad enough, we play Woolly Bully by Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
Is great.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, that's their name. So in other words, it gives Hose, while she's doing the job, or Rabs when he's back, the ability to judge if it's poor enough. Then we need the Sam the Sham to get us back up again.
Right.
Even more than plastic.
Yes. No.
All right.
Which is unfair.
So.
Hold.
Shut up, Bill. No one's talking to you.
So currently this week it's a 50-50 split. So Monday I went with Woolly Bully.
Yes, you did.
Yesterday, because I inadvertently giggled despite it being shit ass.
Yes.
You plastic.
You did.
Bertrand. Yes. The family's sort of with me.
Oh.
They will be.
Mm.
Of course they are.
So. Aldrin Pergoli is a big, big family member, and he's embraced me, which is very nice.
Nice.
Thank you for welcoming me. He says, Rosie giving Bill the double bird was funnier than the joke.
Yeah, of course it was.
You can see the video on Triple M Rush Hour Instagram and TikTok, or TikTok, as we call it.
Totally inappropriate.
Nice.
Yesterday's was, I did laugh, but I didn't mean to.
No, you did. You're allowed to say you liked it and you laughed.
I didn't love it though.
No.
No, but you laughed.
No, but Live to Ride BMX Melbourne has sent us a message on Instagram saying, no, not worthy. That's scraping the bottom of the barrel. Turn him off.
But it was, I don't know if they got it because
it was a double
banger.
Yep. Okay. Keep going, Hose.
From TikTok, we've got some friends. Corporate Doinker is on TikTok.
Oh, Corporate Doinker.
No, it's Doinker, is it?
Loved it. Had to pull over. I started laughing that much.
Oh,
ha, 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 ha.
See, Jim?
No.
You've got no sense of humour. A lot of people say that.
I don't see.
Calypso, 1978. I'm with Rosie. I laughed because it was so shit.
Yeah, well, Bill.
Calypso.
That's what happens a lot.
Frangie, 54. Love this one, Billy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, see? See?
Christo, 550. Six for the joke, one for the delivery.
I got a bit stuck. I just couldn't find
it. Don't often get the delivery bit right, which is a big part of comedy.
But I like feedback about whether I'm right or wrong or just need to be guided in a particular area. So yesterday I went with plastic almost just by default.
Yes.
So we asked on Instagram, was it plastic worthy?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, yes. 68%, yes.
69%. There you go.
68%.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you just added a number, did you?
Get your mind elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well,
jokes there you go. Next.
So, Jim, you've got to laugh. You've got to actually embrace the joke.
Well, when they're funny, Bill, I laugh.
A lot of people say.
Two nuns riding through the Vatican City.
Yeah, we can't go with that one, Jim.
Bill, I laughed when you told that one.
But I didn't think I'd tell it on air, and you did. The pebbles.
You did tell it on air.
The Friday ones tend to be legitimately funny.
One said to the other, we've never come this way before.
Jim, they did. Yes, and the other one, Jim.
Must be the pebble. Bill, so that was funny.
I think it's the cobblestones.
Yes.
Righto, here we go.
Right, so no, we're not ready just yet.
You need to
coming. You need to
get
prepare.
Ready.
But don't worry, I'll return.
Joke next.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, Marco, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
What's happening tomorrow, James?
Zach Fisher joins us. Looking forward to chatting to a very, very talented young footballer. Now, Bill, we've just had the feedback on the joke. 68%, I think, very generous.
69.
No. So let's go with something today. And we'll see at the end of your hose life.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke.
Or not.
See if you like this one. Righto. I got this sent to me and I'm going to go with it.
Okay. Right.
My sister and I got stopped by the police.
Yes.
The cop told her it seemed like she'd been drinking and he said to her, I want you to say the alphabet starting with the letter M. She said, Malphabet. Like M-N.
No, Bill. You don't. When you finally stumble across one that's half decent, you don't have to then explain it.
But she went with Malphabet.
No, we understand. That's what. That was actually quite chuckleable.
Chuckleable.
That one.
That's not a word.
Chuckleable.
Two from three. Ain't bad.
Two from three.
Ain't bad. Who sang that? The old Chubbles.
Meatloaf.
Yeah. God. Two out of three. Ain't bad.
I don't have to explain them.
Malphabet. Write that down.
No more. No more.
You are king of Geelong.